Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our radio broadcast for our leadership class on tonight. We just give God all the praise and glory. We magnify his holy name on tonight. We just thank God this evening for this opportunity on tonight. We're not going to have a song. We're just going to, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless our understanding tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, God, to be back on the radio broadcast for our leadership class. Lord, we just thank you on tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise on tonight. We magnify your name tonight, God. We glorify your name on tonight. We just thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise, God. I ask you tonight to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us what we need to know, God, on tonight. We just thank you for it in advance, God. I ask you to open up our understanding, open up our minds and our hearts, God, that we may receive your word just like it's given, God, in the name of Jesus, and bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Just cover them, God. Cover their families right now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, God. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. Oh, anyway. Amen, and good evening, everybody. Y'all know I'm still. And I think tonight we start at preaching the gospel. Is that what it is? That's what I got.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to get started with that. So everybody that's on here has preached. They've already preached. Let me read some of this. It says, of all the elements that go to make up the work of ministry, preaching is probably the most conspicuous. This is not to say that it is always the most important. The need of a particular congregation, a certain period in its life, can make a difference. And, of course, in a large church with more than one minister, preaching is apt to be a specialty of at least one of them, but not necessarily of others. God calls us to many forms of ministry, and it is never our place to say that one calling is higher than another. The one who preaches, however, has the opportunity to make a strong impact upon the people. And so we know that because we preach, and it's not one gift no important than the other. But being a messenger, being a preacher, pastor, you get to minister all the time. You get to, you know, just talk to the people of God all the time. So to me, a preacher, a minister is good, but when you pastoring, everybody that preaches is not a pastor. So we know that. Every minister is not a pastor. They just minister. Every preacher that preaches is not a pastor, because pastoring is different. Okay, what to preach about? Ben said that the best sermons are prepared with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. This is, of course, one of those clever half truths that we like to quote, and although it is not to be taken literally, it does offer an element of insight. The most affecting preaching brings together the Word of God with the realities of daily life. And that means whatever you're preaching, you should be able to apply it to your daily life every day. That's why I always try to let God give me what to preach about, because you should be able to take the word and bring it on to reality, to bring it on to today's living, so people can understand, especially when you're talking to the younger people, they need to be able to understand, and we need to be able to preach so that King can understand it, child will be able to understand it. So that's really how we should understand the Word of God anyway, just like a child. Okay. As a preacher, you are called upon to interpret to the best of your understanding and ability the messages God has for the people of God in today's world. Although you are not blessed, with perfect wisdom, your studies have qualified you to share your views from the pulpit, and that's what you call preaching to me. The starting point is evangelistic preaching. Again and again, your sermons should follow the advice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Thus, you will frequently invite the congregation to accept the invitation that Jesus offers in such texts, 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ's salvation is promised to all who will accept it, and your preaching delivers this message to those who hunger for it. You will do well to invite a specific response, such as coming forward during the closing hymn or in some other specific action. Preaching. Let me do it. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? I keep going about the preaching.
I have a question, Apostle.
Okay.
Okay. Is it saying here, was it talking about the call to salvation that within every message that is ministered, that there should be a call at the ending? Or is this like some other
Well, you see what I do on Sundays after I preach, I open the doors to the church. That's a call to salvation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, because anytime I wasn't doing it on there at first because I didn't know if I was going to stay on there or not. But every time you preach, you should open the doors of the church and they should come. It's three things: by letter, baptism, how they can come. That's the only way they can come, to join the church.
Okay. And when you say by letter, does that mean from their transitioning from another ministry?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Or Christian experience, because you don't have to have the letter. You can just say, I'm a Christian and I want to join. And then you could be baptized and then join.
Okay.
And some churches got it where you don't even have to join their church. You can just, you know, join the Universal Church or something. I don't know. I have not, you know, ran up on those kind of churches, but I'm sure they're out there. But you always give an invitation. Mm-hmm. Tell them to come. You can just stand up there and hold your hand out. You know, you can come by letter, a Christian experience or baptism, but you can, it's room, you can come. That's why I always play that song, because it's still room. I don't care how many years ago Christ died, there's still room at the cross for people. So, yeah. And you should always do that. Okay, preaching that does not go beyond this. Did I skip something? Let me see. No, preaching that does not go beyond this point, however, is incomplete. The very next verse, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, as a responsibility to the offer of salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What is this yoke? Like the yoke that enables oxen to pull a load, Christ's yoke leads to a responsibility for living the Christian life. The true evangelism is a call not only to the person of Christ, but to the Christian living as well. Therefore, in your preaching, you are responsible for helping the congregation to understand and accept moral and ethical responsibilities in personal and public life that go with Christian discipleship. So here they're talking about the evangelism is a call in living as well, because when God changes you, when you get a new mind, you're going to change, everything going to change about you. You know, you have a new mind. You have you change from that old man. You hear people talking about the old man. That new man comes out, and you change. When you repent, you change. That's salvation. Once you repent and you accept God as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you believe he died for you and rose again from the dead, you accept Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to tell them. You know, not only just come and join in the church, but, you know, you have to take them, walk them through that when they join. I just didn't do Lala because Lala was already a member of the church, but you have to take them through all of that. And when we were in church, they would say, do you accept the rules of this church and stuff like that? And they'll say, I do, and stuff like that. You take them through it, and I'm going to get to that and let you know what you have to say to them when they join it, when they do join the church. You know, it's just what I said. You have to stand them up there and ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe he died and rose, you know, and God raised him, the Father raised him from the dead? Do you believe he is your Savior and Lord? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, yes, yes, yes. Are you willing to accept the rules of this church? Yes, I am. Are you willing to, I don't know how they do it now, but are you willing to abide by the rules? That's what they say, abide by the rules of the church. And I mean, they have some rules because it's a lot to churches. People don't think it is. They think it just, you know, it's okay. It's God's house. But it's rules when you go into a church, because if you don't have rules, they will run over the church. You got to have some kind of order established in a church. You can't let them do anything, because then there would be no respect. There would be nothing. And they'll just run over the church. So you have to have order and rules in a church, because people will just take over everything. Do you all understand? Therefore, in your preaching, you are responsible for helping the congregation to understand and accept moral, ethical responsibilities in personal and public life that goes with Christian discipleship. Some sermons are best developed by beginning with a Bible text and exploring its implications. For instance, what do words like those of Jesus, blessed or the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, really mean? When we think them through some of the circumstances in daily life that call Christians to be merciful, why is it so hard to be merciful? How do we understand the corollary, whatever that is, corollary about obtaining mercy? Do we also always receive the mercy we deserve? No. Is our reason for being merciful so that people will be merciful to us, or do we have deeper motivations? Let your imagination roam as you develop a text. And it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you give mercy, you receive mercy. In other words, this book is designed to help you locate texts that can be effectively developed into a sermon. Part 2 contains hundreds of selected portions of scripture classified under topical headings that will offer suggestions for preaching. I've never seen any. Browse among them as you select themes for your sermon. Sometimes it is good to develop a Bible-based sermon from a large segment. What does an overview of Paul's letter to the Philippians tell us about the life of a church? Or what do we learn from the book of Jonah about putting our personal concerns above the will of God as we understand it? Or how does Hosea's love for his unfaithful wife help us to recognize God's love for us? Another effective way to develop a sermon is to begin with a problem that may concern many members of your congregation. Why do good people suffer? Why do our children sometimes turn out the way we wish? Why don't our children sometimes turn out the way we wish? How are we to react to modern standards of sexual behavior? Why do I sometimes feel that my prayers are unanswered? How can God help to overcome temptation? The list is endless, and there is help in the Bible if you would search for it, using such help to bring the sermon to a spiritual conclusion. Those were all good sermons. I've never seen them before because I would have preached on every one of them because they're all good. A series of related sermons can be used, as you might preach separately on each of the Ten Commandments. That's a good thing. Or the Beatitudes, or on several of the Old Testament prophets. These could be delivered or on successive Sundays, or spaced further apart as on Second Sunday for several months. In selecting texts, remember that the heart of the Christian faith is in the New Testament rather than the Old. There are many useful and appropriate passages, and however, especially in the Psalms and some of the prophets. The key to wide selection of the Old Testament text is to compare them with the message of Jesus. For instance, although the doctrine of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth appears in Exodus 21, Leviticus 24, and Deuteronomy 19, Jesus specifically rejects it in Matthew 5:38 and 39. Many other areas where the teaching of Christ superseded those of the Old Testament are not specifically stated, but are no less clear than the Christian preacher. When you have select, give it a title that will express the main idea you want to convey. It will help not only to focus your own thinking, but to fix the basic idea in the listener's mind. Understand the spiritual needs of your people and speak to them. So that gave some good sermon topics. And this stuff is very useful, but none of it will help you preach. I'm just telling you, you got to get that from God. Honey, you get up there and start talking about these topics and stuff like that, and he's been to change your whole sermon, you'd be saying something else. I mean, they good. Everybody, every preacher got this book. So, you know, they didn't already preach these sermons 50 times over. Mm-hmm. Do you all understand? Understand the spiritual needs of your people and speak to them. Yeah, you do. You have to understand your congregation.
I have a question about this.
Okay.
This says understand the spiritual needs of your people and speak to them. So how do you apply? I mean, I'm sure you could probably take some of these topics, like if you're like a guest speaker for a congregation that you don't know, or you don't know like what the members, you know, maybe have been saying to the pastor. So in that case, do you just maybe kind of go from some of these other topics?
A lot of times when I'm inviting you over to preach as a guest speaker, I've already kind of told you what the church needs. Now, how you bring it to the church is how God give it to you. But I'm going to tell you how the church needs and what their needs are and what we're doing over here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's how that is, because you won't know. And God will tell you more so, but the preacher usually, I've always had them to tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. Especially at the Baptist church, because they don't believe it. Prophecy, they'll see God to speak to you, none of that. A lot of the Baptist churches like that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, play it by ear. You have to play it by ear. That's what you have to do, because a lot of times you have to rely on God even and see, you know, you have to be really careful even when you're going into somebody else's house. Into somebody else's church, that's what I call a house, because they may not want you sitting up there with them. And the best thing I want you all to know is when you go to another person's church, you don't take yourself to the pulpit. You sit down in the back somewhere and let them tell the usher to come and get you, because it's always better to act up than to be asked down, because they'll ask you down if you go up there. You know, you just wait. That shows respect and shows that, you know, you don't have no over nothing, because their will acts you down. And so you have to just think about it. You have to think. And another thing, as a preacher, when a preacher preach, you don't get up behind him and preach. You don't get up behind him. Whatever word he gave, then that's the word it is. You don't get up, even though you might sound better preaching than him or her, you don't get up and say a word. You sit right there. Sit right there. And, you know, whatever. But those are, that's the ethical stuff that you need to know as a preacher, a minister, a pastor. That's the kind of stuff we talking about here tonight. And if you, and then the men preachers, the enemy has sent a woman in, sit right on the front pew while he's getting ready to preach, take his text, and then all he can see is coochie. You know, just distracting. And I've had them old preachers, I've heard them say, honey, I can't preach with you sitting up here like that. They tell them in a minute, and I'll be like, Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm, because the enemy has sent them. They come there for a motive. They have a reason to come. They have a reason to come. Mm-hmm. So are we understanding where we are with the preaching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Preparing to preach. A good basic topic should be expressed in a well-organized fashion. Use an outline. Now, some of you all can use an outline, but I write it down. I be wanting to use the outline, but it don't ever work out like that for me. But I be wanting to use the outline, but it don't work. So, but you can use the outline if you can. I'll say that. But it's hard to study, look down and look back up, because everybody's looking at you, and they know you read. Even now, the preachers have laptops in the pulpit. That's just awful to me, but maybe it's up to date to other people. You know what I'm saying? I need the word of God. I have trouble seeing the word of God up there. I don't need the laptop up there in the pulpit. I just don't. But it's to each his own, you know, what to do about that. But the old dictum that a sermon should have 3 points is, of course, unduly arbitrary. Sometimes a single point is enough, provided that various implications are explored and helpful illustration are used, or you may choose to present even 4 or 5 related points. Don't do this, because let me tell you something. When you go to making 4 and 5 points, people are going to go to sleep, because church folk attention span is what? 15 minutes, 20 at the most. You're going to have the attention, because after 15 minutes and 20 minutes rolling up, they're going to start thinking about the roast they left in the crock pot or the oven, and how they gonna get home, and what else they gonna cook with it. And you can't. Mm-mm, but you got to get on up there and say it. You can't do like Charles Stanley. You can't do that. People fall asleep on you. Fall asleep on you. because you long-winded and you ain't saying nothing what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? If you're going to preach something long, if you're going to preach a long sermon, you need to be saying something, something. But if not, you need to get up there and say what God told you to say and sit down. Mm-hmm. Don't be up there hanging on and you ain't saying nothing. Keep nobody's, you know, attention span. No, the main issue is whether you have a way of making your point clearly enough that they are remembered. That's right. Don't be afraid to repeat words for emphasis. Repetition used intentionally can be a useful rhetorical device. A brief introduction, I can't see y'all. A brief introductory summary at the beginning and another at the conclusion can be helpful. Well, if you finna close out, if you finna take them to the cross, you can go back over it a little bit. But if you ain't finna take them to the cross, ain't no use of you going back over it. But, you know, you preach how you want to preach. And, you know, y'all did good when both of y'all did good when y'all ministered and preached. The word was good, and you had it lined up pretty good. It was good. Mm-hmm. Another effective device is to relate the outline to a familiar sequence, such as the Ten Commandments, or to fix it in the people's minds with a particularly compelling illustration at the end, or with storytelling approach that runs through the entire sermon. Sometimes a familiar text may be broken down for decision phrase by phrase. You will use different methods in different sermons, and you should, but the important thing is to select approaches that the congregation will remember. So he wants the congregation, Gary, he wants you to do it while the congregation will remember it. And sometimes they will and sometimes they won't, because I didn't been to church, listened to the preacher preach, and when I got home, I couldn't tell Ed nothing. I just did barely know the name of the sermon. I'm telling you, it's been a few times I've done that, and that means that it wasn't what it should have been, and I know what it should have been, but it didn't keep my attention is what I'm saying. So, yeah, we have to try to keep their attention when we're trying to say this word. We have to keep their attention. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, it's hard for me and nobody else is in the room with me, and that, you know, I have to do the music. I have to make sure the speaker is right. I have to make sure the microphone is right. I have to make sure the lighting is right. Everything. But God is my strength. And God helps me with it. So I'm so grateful, even though I have to turn around and start the music up and all that. I'm so grateful that God is with me every time. I thank the Lord. But I've had the experience when we were pastoring True Word Church in East St. Louis, where he invited a pastor or a preacher to come preach, and the preacher hadn't preached for 2 years. So we stayed in there a day and a half, not really, but it was at least 2.5 or 3 hours worth of preaching he did. And the thing about it, you wouldn't mind it if he was saying something. But it was 30 people in the church, and it was 28 asleep. You don't want that. It was 28 people asleep, slob and everything, because he didn't have their attention anymore. He took it up, and it was powerful. Then he spread it out, took it even. Then he dropped. And he was dropping, he was reading, and he was stumbling over words, and all that. People started getting sleepy. Sleepy, sleepy, sleepy.
I have a question, Apostle.
Okay.
So how do you feel about the storytelling approach where it says it runs throughout the entire sermon?
I don't know about that. I mean, you can tell a story, but you have to make the story interesting because the story been there for years. You see what I'm saying? So they're going to say, uh-huh. I already hear it. You know, I already hear it that one. You know, I already, Pastor so-and-so preached that and he tore it up, or he was hooping so he got with all this kind of stuff. But when you tell the story, you got to make sure that you keep their attention in the storytelling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you can, I mean, just like Samson, people watched it on TV, everything, but they didn't say what, like the Bible said. They didn't, they just did some of it. You see what I'm saying? They didn't do it all. So you have to, just like Jonah and the whale, you have to, because it's, the key is watching and everything, and everybody watches it. When you tell a story, they've been to watch it over and over, the cartoon Jonah, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and the big whale, and they in the belly of the whale, and all this kind of stuff. All the prophetess Martin children can tell that story. Believe me, because they done watched it over and over. See, that's why you have to know, and it's different from the Word of God. It's a little different. So when you tell it, you got to put them in, you got to make it, because they'll be sitting there looking at you like, honey, we didn't hear that in the show, don't go like that, and all this kind of stuff. So when I talked about, and I'm like I said, I'm not a traditional preacher where you got to preach on holidays and stuff like that. I wouldn't have dared talked about mothers and my mother gone, your mother gone, some other folks' mother gone, and it ain't doing it but making us feel bad and all this kind of stuff. I wouldn't do that, and God wouldn't let me. He said, you tell them what I said. I showed them one to preach it, but I said it. Just what he told me to say. I surely said it. Mm-hmm. So, but what I was saying, what was I talking about Sunday? You can't live one way and die another. You got to live and see that's just it. This is a kind of sermon that you can just speak out. You don't have to tell a story. You know what I'm saying? You can and you can, because it's some like Paul. He was living one way, and he died another. Because when he first started off, he was crucifying the Christians. He was killing them, murdering them, putting them in jail, everything. Paul. So when he had that experience on Damascus Road, God brought him on in the fold, and he changed his life. And then he started helping Christians, but they were scared of him to trust him, because he had killed so many, he had put so many, locked them up and all this kind of stuff. They was afraid. Mm-hmm. And some of the other disciples wouldn't trust him for a long time. But God changed him. And I don't know which one it was. It might have been him, was beating a donkey. And the donkey was trying to help him and tell him something, and he wasn't listening. He was steady beating that donkey, and God gave the donkey a voice. And when God gave the donkey a voice, He said, why are you hitting me? Yeah, I'm telling you, I said it. He did. God allowed the donkey to speak to him and ask him, why are you hitting me? It's so many stories to tell in here, but you got to know them. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He had that experience on Damascus Road, and he repented and changed his life, but when nobody hardly accepted him because he had to kill so many Christians. And then when they did, the ones that did accept him, they wouldn't let him be over nobody but the Gentiles. He couldn't be over nobody else. And so he was over them, he preached to them, because the other ones wouldn't listen to him. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You just have to feel it is good, but God will give you something different. He truly will. He'll give you something different. And maybe a different approach, because you might want to preach about this and that. And you can tell a story just like what I just did. You take a different approach at it. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you all did very well. You on Prophet this morning. Y'all did good preaching, and Carolyn did too. I think Carolyn preached. I forgot. But did good. Mm-mm. Let me read it a little further. Okay, on a special occasion, God washed up. They say you can choose scripture readings and hymns and that blends with the theme of the sermon. With the cooperation of the minister music, the service may include anthems that carry out the basic theme of the service. On special occasions, some visualization can be used, such as displaying a banner, a poster, a painting, or a piece of sculpture. Stained glass windows may also be used as a visual aid. Delivering the message, many a good sermon has failed to accomplish its purpose because it was poorly delivered. That's what I'm talking about, because I didn't experience that. And I know sometimes when, I mean, you think it's going to be this way and it be that way, and you have to keep up the morale. You have to keep them wanting to hear more. Yeah. So you have to let the Holy Spirit use. You have to cover the sin, ask God to send his power down and stuff. So it's something. Preaching is something. It ain't all what we think it is, because you have to have knowledge. You have to have knowledge. The Lord say, people perish for the lack of knowledge. You have to have knowledge of the word of God, especially if you're getting up and preaching in front of somebody. Okay. If you would convey your message successfully, pay attention to your style of speaking. Above all, be sure you are heard. Do not mumble or murmur. Speak loudly enough that with or without a microphone, as the case may be, everybody, even those who cannot hear very well, will not be disappointed. Almost as important as the volume of the voice, or such quality as the speed, the tone, and the expression. Some preachers talk too fast to be easily understood. A slow delivery is much easier and he right, but a lot of times you may be preaching, and then at the while you saying you going too slow, and people are getting restless, and they and they're getting up, going to the bathroom, all that kind of stuff, when you can go head on, deliver that message. If it's a story, you tell a story and get on up off of it. You cannot hang people out like that, because I love Charles Stanley, but I can't take the lonely. I like to look at him on television because he can't stay too long, but sometimes he does. Sometimes he does stay too long. So, you know, and he's a good teacher. Yeah, he's a good teacher, but you got people that don't know God that's sitting up in church talking about, I'll be glad when they get through. That's all they do is every time I come here, somebody preaching the hour, I don't want to hear that stuff, and now they finger go up, they going out the door. That's something that you have to deal with when you're a preacher. That's something. And you always, when I read a word and listen, I'm tired, I can't, don't have my glasses on, you're supposed to read that word with power at all times. With power. Where is the Bible at? Let me show you what I'm talking about. You, I don't read it like that all the time, but I know how I'm supposed to read this word of God, especially when you're out at a visiting church or you out even at the church that God has blessed you to be in. When you read a word, here is Psalm 32. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know my voice, I'll mess up tonight. And it says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no God. When I keep silence, my bones wax old through my rowing all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And you have to, and when you're standing up, because I'm sitting down, when you're standing up, you can clearly speak and read that word with power. That's what God wants us to do. He don't want us to be, you know, skipping and over words and, you know, like that. He don't want that. He wants us to read it with power, the word of God. Okay. Some preachers talk, huh?
I just said amen.
Some preachers talk too fast to be easily understood. A slow delivery is much easier to follow than a rapid flow of words, especially in a room that has echoes. A tone that is shrill, demonious, can discourage the listener. A delivery that drones on and on without emphasis on important points can invite drowsiness. I'm sure they so tend you'll be asleep in a second. It may help you to ask a few members of the congregation to listen critically and report back on such items as volume, speed, tone, and expression. Practice to improve your delivery and invite follow-up comments. Ask these people, am I improving? And it's good, preach. You can practice preaching, but when you get ready to preach, make sure it's something God wants you to talk about. Mm-hmm. Just make sure. Okay. There are values and dangers in each method. For you, if you see in manuscript, will you stick too closely to it? Reading in a dull, monotonous voice or will you read expressly, looking frequently at the people, departing from the text, which when a new idea strikes, smiling or frowning or gazing more seriously, adjusting your tone in keeping with the content? If you use notes, will your sentences be complete and grammatical? When you use notes, you're just reading. With helpful nuances of expressions to make your points effectively, if you use no help at all, will you cover your subject in a logical and clear fashion without rambling or overlooking important emphasis? Try varying your methods and determine what words best for you, what works best for you. Use language that is appropriate for as many of your congregation as possible. Think of the diversity. Some may be university in the advanced degrees. Others may have limited education. So appropriate that expressions currently in favor with youth, but beware how rapidly they change. While others prefer more traditional language, some may have difficult with English, using it only as a second language. After assessing, your congregation listening skills, speak in a way that your congregation will best understand and accept. The manner of your speaking can strengthen or weaken the ideal of your sermon. What will you do about it? So, yeah, you have to be real, really careful. This is something you have to be really careful about, preaching and how you're going to do it, how you're going to use it and all that. You got to be careful when you do that. You got to be. Because it's always somebody in there just trying to hear or whatever. Critique you and stuff like that. But you don't need no critiquing. God critiques you. So, anybody have any? Okay. I'm telling you, it's a privilege to be able to minister to the people of God. But it's a lot of trouble too. It's, you know, it's some trouble to it too. Mm-hmm. So you just have to stay prayerful. And when you get ready to preach, I want you all to preach again, because I want you all to get used to preaching. You got to get used to preaching. Mm-hmm. You got to, because it ain't nothing. You standing up before them people and they looking at you in your face. Honey, I'm telling you, it's something. You can't always preach on the radio broadcast, because, you know, I'm getting ready to schedule. I'm going to St. Louis, Illinois. I'm going to schedule that thing in July, sometime in July, I think. I don't know when yet, but it'll be scheduled in July or the first week of August, one of them. And I'm trying to keep it and get it where we can have our little vacation like we said. Mm-hmm. But I do want to we got to start having some programs. I'm just trying to see. We got to start having some so people can know where we are, who we are, and stuff like that, especially the ones here in Detroit, in Michigan, and those even in Illinois. In St. Louis, I'm even thinking about asking them, because they asked me to come. They was looking for us to come in June. And I just told them, like Judy Towers and Yvonne, them, they was looking for us to come. So soul. And I told her, but see, what I'm going to do is ask them, can they find a lot? I'll get a tent. Believe me, I don't have time to be begging people, let me use church. Then when you use it, the building, then you used all our toilet paper, used all the paper towels, all this. I'd rather get a tent, and I'll see how it is. Because, honey, it's people is desperate for seeking, desperately seeking God. So, yeah. But anyway, we're getting ready to close out. I hope you all have learned something from this, especially about preaching. But this do not teach you how to preach. Even when I went to seminary, I had been to all kind of Bible schools. Believe me, and graduated, completed, bachelor. Teach me how to preach every Sunday, not be standing there like, God, do I got to say this? And you do. So you have to say what he tells you to say. You can't get up there preaching like you want to preach and saying all what you think you want to say. It don't work like that. So the next thing is what pastoral care. We'll talk about that next. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for the time that we had to just go over the word of the teaching that you've allowed us to have for the ministers. God, I ask you right now to cover them, God, in the blood of Jesus tonight. I ask you right now, God, to just minister to their hearts and their minds and their spirit on tonight, God, that they won't just be afraid to preach in front of the people, God, but minister to them, God, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord say you are to depend on him even when you get up to preach. You can't just get up there. You can have a sermon. If God tell you to say something else, that's what you got to do. So you have to be listening clearly, because when you don't, you won't hear God. You see what I'm saying? You won't, because God know what the people need, and we don't. Even if the pastor try to tell us something, we don't know, but God does. So, Father, I ask you to keep on molding, making, shaping them, even their characters, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and keep them lifted up before you, God. In the name of Jesus, bless their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. Y'all going to be fine. Y'all just need to preach a couple more times on this radio broadcast and then go forward at one of these meetings or the healing and deliverance service or what have you, you know, because I feel like you all could probably do that. But to stand up before the people and preach, everybody's eyes is on you. And you be nervous, and that's how it's supposed to be. Because you're not dependent on your strength, you're dependent on the strength of God. So it's all right. So you all are dismissed. I know y'all got things to do, places to go, people to see.
Thank you, Apostle.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you. Get you some rest, too.
Okay.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.